Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Verses 1 through 9, Genesis chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for the precious and wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to open your word every day and spend time with you one-on-one, communing with you, listening to you, walking with you, learning from you, drawing on your grace, strength, and encouragement that comes from your word. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us all to fall in love afresh with you and your word more and more, and help us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We continue to remind and encourage you to take time to go to our website, AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. There you can find the podcasts of all, well, the podcast of all the broadcasts that you find on American Family Radio, as well as, of course, you can listen live online, too. If you happen to be in a place where you don't have a radio or a radio that's in earshot of you, you can listen online. And, of course, certainly we encourage you to download the app, the AFR app, and use it as well if you don't have the opportunity to use your radio, or you may just prefer to use your app also. Also, the onenewsnow.com is the website for our news department, One News Now, and you can keep up to date with the latest going on in our world and in our culture from the One News Now team of One News Now. You can use the One News Now mobile app as well. It's free and now is available for download from your phone's app store. Please take time also to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. I think if you'll take time to do that, you'll find some encouraging posts, things that encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord, little devotional-type tools that will bless and encourage you as a disciple, and also tools you can help to disciple your family with as well. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Today, we're looking at the topic specifically of the Bible, a book of prayer. Now, again, I want you to listen to that topic again because I want you to really grasp what we're saying. It's called, again, the Bible, a book of prayer. Now, of course, the Bible is the written word of God, and God's word is many, many things. But amongst other things, it's a book of prayer. And so I'm going to share once again, we read a portion of Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read the entire chapter, but I want you to really listen to keep in mind this very important fact that the Bible is the written word of God, but also the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a book of prayer. Remember, prayer is talking to God and prayer is listening to God as well. Well, when you're reading and studying the word of God, it's heavy on the listening, but you're spending time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father, and God is speaking words of blessing, words of grace, words of encouragement to you, words of counsel to guide and direct you to help you to walk wisely in the world. So, as we look in the book of Genesis chapter 1, remember this, the God of the creation, the God of all creation, our Heavenly Father is talking to us, spending time one-on-one with us when we read and meditate on His Word. So yes, it's a book of prayer. It's a book of both listen to God, and remember, God is talking to you through His Word, but also you're listening, learning, and drawing closer to Him as well. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, once again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All of Genesis chapter 1. Again today we're looking at the topic of the Bible, a book of prayer. And we're talking about how the Bible itself is a book of prayer from beginning to end, from the book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation. It's a book of prayer. Remember, prayer is both talking to God and it's listening to God. Well, when you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, it's a form of prayer, but it's heavy on the listening. And so it's actually a good thing for you in the midst of your time of reading and meditating on Scripture to also talk to God, for example. Sometimes ask him questions about what you read. Sometimes share your comments or thoughts to the Lord in the midst of your reading. But yes, the Bible is a book of prayer. It's a book that helps us to commune with our Heavenly Father, a book that allows us to walk with God as we simply spend time one-on-one with him, reading and meditating on his word. So keep in mind, one of the reasons why you may find it hard to sometimes spend time reading and meditating on Scripture is because this: of all the things that you do, two areas in your Christian life that the devil will fight heaviest is both your time in reading and meditating on the Word of God and your time in prayer. Now, again, my point is the Bible itself is a book of prayer, so he's going to fight heavily and very hard against your spending time reading and meditating on Scripture and against your spending time talking with him as well in other ways beyond your time in the Word of God. To the devil, your time in prayer, your time reading and meditating on Scripture is dangerous to him because that time you spend with God in his Word empowers you to be a much more effective warrior and soldier and vessel in the hands of God. So it's very important that you make spending time with the Word of God a vital part of your daily walk. On a pretty regular basis, I challenge believers to start the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible each and every day. And now, if you decide that that's not enough for you, you want to do more, wonderful. You can't get too much of God's Word. And I like the fact that the great servant of the Lord in the history of the church, John Wesley, his word for spiritual habits, that is, our time in the Word of God, our time in prayer, our obedience, our time in worship and praise and thanksgiving, our taking communion, different things of that nature. He referred to these as means of grace. That was his word for spiritual habits, means of grace. Now, keep in mind, it doesn't mean that we can earn grace. By no means. Jesus Christ made grace abundantly available to us. In fact, when Jesus came into the world, he lived, he died on the cross to pay for our sins, and 3 days later rose up from the dead, made a way for us to be saved, and he made abundantly available the ocean of God's grace to all of us. But there are things you and I can do to cause the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. Reading and meditating on the Word of God is one of those things. Spending time praying and talking to God is another one of those things. Spending time worshiping, thanking, and praising God, spending time obeying the Word of God, all of these are means of grace, means things you and I can do to cause the grace of God to pour into our lives in much greater measure. So I want to challenge you to make it a priority to begin to read and meditate on God's Word every day. And in addition to shooting for a goal of at least 3 chapters a day, I would encourage you to get some form of audio Bible. And don't let that take the place of your time reading and meditating on Scripture. Use it in addition to your time of reading and meditating on Scripture. Listening to the Word of God is a wonderful way to cover a lot of ground in the Word of God. And remember, when you're spending time in the Word, you're spending time with God. Again, the Bible is a book of prayer. It's a book whereby we spend time both listening and talking to God. So remember, your time in the Word is a time of prayer amongst other things. It's a time of communing with God. It's a time whereby during that time, as you read and meditate on Scripture, God reaches into your heart and molds and shapes you and makes you to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if you don't have that habit already, I would challenge you today. Start the habit of reading God's Word every day, at least 3 chapters. Always pray before you read. In fact, a prayer found specifically in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. It's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer and a reminder of the importance of us understanding that, yes, even when you take time to read the Word of God, Satan will try to come against you. But I would encourage you to pray this prayer on a regular basis. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." That's found in Psalm 119, verse 18. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit that would cause us to love spending time reading and meditating on your word more and thus spending more time with you in prayer daily. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, The Bible, a Book of Prayer. We'll be right back.
When my mind is far from
Music from the group Commission, the song Secret Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the Bible, a book of prayer. And one of the very important truths we wanted to share with you is that literally when you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, you're spending time praying and talking with God as well. Now, again, for many, they may think, well, I don't think of reading the Bible as a form of prayer. Well, I'm helping you understand it is. It's a form of communing with God, spending time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father. Remember, prayer is both talking to God and listening to God. Well, when you're reading and meditating on God's Word, it's a form of prayer, a form of communing with God, but it's heavy on the listening. Remember, when you're reading God's Word, God is talking to you. The Creator of the universe is talking to you. And when God talks to you, He's not just giving you information. He's pouring grace, peace, wisdom, joy, strength, and encouragement into your mind and your heart. Some of the most valuable time that you'll spend all day is the time you spend reading and meditating on the Word of God. So again, the Bible is a book of prayer from Genesis to Revelation. So when you read and meditate on God's Word, yes, it's a form of praying and communing with your Heavenly Father. But also note this too specifically, there are prayers found within the Word of God itself. There are some prayers that you'd be familiar with and some that you may not be particularly familiar with. But for example, the Lord's Prayer is found in the New Testament, in Matthew and other one or more of the other Gospels as well. The Prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Aaron's blessing that he prayed upon, that God gave him a prayer, a special prayer for him to pray blessing upon the children of Israel. And those are just a few. Now, the book of Psalms is prayers and hymns. The whole book of Psalms are specifically their prayers as well as hymns. And so as you read through the Psalms, you can obviously tell that some of them sound more like prayers than others, but the reality is every psalm is really a prayer. So we want to look briefly in the book of Psalms, starting with Psalm 1. And keep in mind, even if you think to yourself, well, that doesn't sound like a prayer to me, keep in mind what I'm wanting you to grasp is that the whole Bible is a book of prayer. It's a book of talking to God and or listening to God, and it's a book of communing with God. So when you're spending time reading the Word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father, having conversation with Him. Psalm 1 tells us these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." All of Psalm 1. Now keep in mind, earlier we read from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. Now keep in mind, the Word of God is a God-breathed book. It's God's book. And the fact is, the Word of God, the Bible, is the best-selling book in all of history. It has been for a long, long time. It outsells every other book every year, all the time. It's the best-selling book in the world. And who's the author? God, our Heavenly Father, is the author, but He did use around 40 or so human secretaries to write it. But this is God's book. And of all the books you read, this one is the most important one for you to read. And remember this, when you're reading it, you're not reading the ideas or thoughts or the imagination of people. Remember, God used people to write it, but God inspired it. So you're listening to the thoughts, the communications, the insights, the wisdom of God, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. When you're reading the Word of God, you're talking to God and listening to God as well. So keep in mind, some of the most important time you'll spend today is the time you spend in the precious and powerful Word of God. Do you want God to talk to you today? Open your Bible. You can hear Him as much as you listen to His Word. Because this Word of God is the voice of God. It's the counsel of God. It's God impacting your life with His wisdom, His grace, and His power that comes through His Word. So As we read Genesis chapter 1, keep in mind Genesis is the book of beginnings. God chose to introduce us to his book with the book of Genesis, and specifically with Genesis chapter 1, which tells us the story of creation. Now, why would God start his book that way? Well, it's a wonderful way whereby God introduces us more so to who he is. It introduces us to him, our Heavenly Father. He's the creator of the universe. God, in his love and his grace and in his mercy, tells us and teaches us about himself as he introduces his book with the creation, telling us how our world got here, how we got here. And remember, the book of Genesis answers a whole lot of the questions that lots and lots of people ask. People often ask, how did we get here? Genesis answers that question. Where did we come from? Genesis answers that question. How did we arrive at being who we are, and where did sin come from? Genesis answers that question. And so God, our Heavenly Father, in his grace, in his love, and in his mercy, tells us a whole lot of what we really need to know as he introduces his book, the book of Genesis. And chapter 1 is the creation story, a wonderful and a powerful story. You should read it often because, amongst other things, it reminds us of the bigness of God, the power of God, the majesty of God, the omnipotence of God. And so reading Genesis, the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 1 in particular, you would be wise to read it often, because too often in our busyness and our being doing this and that and having so many things to do, we forget about the bigness of God, the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the omnipotence of our Heavenly Father. So you would be wise to read Genesis chapter 1, actually chapters 1 and 2, to remind you of the majesty of our Heavenly Father, amongst other things. So again, as we look at the topic of the Bible, a book of prayer, the word reading the Bible helps us commune with God, helps us to spend time with God, listening to him and becoming more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So read Genesis chapter 1 and then Psalm 1 as well. God uses Psalm 1 to introduce us to the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms, very specifically, all of the Psalms, again, they're prayers, every single one of them. All of them are also hymns as well. The book of Psalms functioned as a hymn book for the children of Israel down through the years as well. But keep in mind, each psalm is also a prayer. And so as you read it, keep in mind God is talking to you. And as you read and meditate on the Word of God, actually the Psalms, but any of the rest of the Word of God as well, it's a good thing as you read to stop and pause and think on it. Note this, you know, one of the powerful things about the book of Psalms is in a number of the Psalms, it uses the word Selah. It's a little word that's used in different divisions in the midst of the book of Psalms. Now, what does the word Selah mean? The word Selah means pause and think about that. Now, keep this in mind. Again, the word Selah means pause and think about that. Now, why do we need to do that in reading the Word of God? Well, because sometimes in our reading, we can move too fast. Sometimes in our reading, we can skip by something that we really need to stop and meditate on. And so, specifically in the book of Psalms, the word Selah is found, which again means pause and think about this. Why? Because God wants you to pause and think about it. And as you think about it and meditate on it, God will open up more truth to you that will bless your life and encourage you. Remember, all truth is meant to be applied. You don't learn truth from the Word of God just to say, well, this is an insight I learned about, and you do nothing with it. No, God wants you to take the truths you learn and put them to work in your life, because all the truths of God's Word, all of them will bless you, will empower you, will edify you, and will more and more set you free. Don't make the mistake of thinking the Bible is just a nice book to read about. It's an instruction book for life. It's the heart and the mind of God. And as we spend time with God, spend time in prayer and meditation in his word, you're learning more about God, more of his wisdom, more of his counsel. You're learning more about how he calls us to live and to follow and to serve him. So Psalm 1, as we read, is a powerful psalm, an insightful psalm, but it introduces us to the wonderful book of Psalms in particular. So it's a good psalm for you to memorize. It's a short one, I want to take a moment real briefly to go through it one more time, but listen to what it says about the Word of God itself in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, a short psalm, but a powerful psalm that helps us better understand the wonderful gift of the Word of God as a whole and the wonderful gift of the book of Psalms within the book of the Bible itself. Psalm 19 as well, it too wonderfully draws out the wonderful gift of God's Word and helps us to better comprehend that it is a wonderful gift. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. All of Psalm 19. Again, another powerful psalm that talks about the perfect revelation of the Lord found in his word. Psalm 19 is a psalm of King David. We're all called to be students of the Word of God, and we're wise to recognize that, yes, the Bible, it is a book of prayer. It's a book whereby when we read and meditate on it, yes, we're praying, we're talking with God, we're communing with God, but also we're building our faith. It's critical to understand the Bible is a book of prayer, but also remember, prayer is to operate by through faith. You're to pray expecting God to hear and answer your prayer, so it's important that you put your faith, you put your faith in gear in the midst of your prayer life. Expect that God is going to hear and answer your prayers. And remember, the Word of God is the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, it's praying the Word of God as well. And you're praying what God wants to come to pass. And when you pray the Word and the will of God, God hears and answers that prayer. We're looking at the topic, the Bible, a book of prayer. We'll be right back after this break.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked.
blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law.
Music from Cam, the song Psalm 1. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, The Bible, A Book of Prayer. Let me remind you, my email is jparker@afa.net. We have a prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers that has a number of biblically based prayers that you can use to greatly empower your prayer life. Prayers based on, or they come straight from the Word of God, or based on the Word of God. And so as I've been mentioning, the whole Bible really, it is a book of prayer, but you do find specific prayers that come, they're specifically formulated prayers, for example, the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of Jabez, and others. Well, I would encourage you to email us to get that tool. We call it Kingdom Prayers. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, a great tool to help empower your prayer life. But all of the Word of God is a book of prayer, and it's a book that empowers your walk with the Lord. Remember, your prayer life is largely your intimate walk with God. Now, the fact is, you know, prayer is talking to God, it's listening to God, but that's not a final definition of prayer by any means. In fact, the reality is, as we grow in the Lord, our definition and understanding of prayer should be expanding more and more and more. We should become more skillful in the area of prayer as believers. And I think it's powerful to think about the fact that Jesus' whole life was a prayer to God. His whole life in his earthly walk on this in this world was a prayer to God. It was an intimate walk with God. Our prayer life is largely our intimate walk with God, and the closer you draw to God, the more God can use you, and the more he's able to flow, his spirit flows through you and is at work in and around your life. So it should be our goal to stay close all the time. The Apostle John is a wonderful example of someone who sought to do that, to stay close, and God used him in some wonderful ways because he chose to do just that. So we were looking in the book of Psalm. So we looked at Psalm 1 and Psalm 19 as well. Both of them focus on the wonderful gift of the Word of God and the powerful gift the Word of God really is as well. One of the best known scriptures in all of the Word of God and the most well-beloved is Psalm 23. Let's take a time to go through that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Keep in mind, there are at least seven wonderful ways for you and I to put the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, to work in our lives each and every day. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All of them are related, but none of them are the same things. Let me go through all seven again. You can read it. You can read the Word of God, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. They're all related. But again, none of them are the same thing. You can read the Word of God, but not choose to believe it. You can hear the Word of God, but not choose to pray the Word of God. So They're all related, but we as believers, we're wise to put the Word of God wonderfully to work in all seven ways on a daily basis. And we really can do it, and it's to our advantage to do it, because remember, amongst other things, the Word of God, it's a book of prayer, but also the Word of God itself refers to itself as being the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is a weapon. And like it or not, you and I deal with spiritual warfare absolutely every day of our lives. And we're wise to become highly skilled at using the sword of the Spirit in our lives each and every day. So I would challenge and encourage you to seek to put it to work in all seven ways every single day. Hope that you'll take time to do that. Again, that was Psalm 23 that we just shared as well. Now, note this. In the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, we find the prayer that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord graciously taught his disciples after they asked him to teach them how to pray. And the Lord graciously taught them how to pray, and he specifically gave them the Lord's Prayer. Let's take a moment to pray the Lord's Prayer now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we just went through Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer just then. I would encourage you, if you don't have them both memorized, memorize them. And I would challenge and encourage you, speak Psalm 23 several times a day, every day. Because remember, it's not just a nice poem or psalm from the Word of God. It's a weapon. Speak it and stand on the promises found within Psalm 23. It's a way to put the powerful Word of God to work in your life. I would challenge you at least half a dozen times every day. Confess and speak Psalm 23. Memorize it, confess and speak it, because remember, it's a weapon. And speaking the Word of God is a wonderful and a powerful way to put it to work in your life every single day. And as you speak it, you're standing on the promises. You're confessing and utilizing the promises found in Psalm 23 in your life. Well, of course, in Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord's Prayer is found, the Lord Jesus Christ graciously taught his disciples how to pray. Well, we're wise to pray the Lord's Prayer every single day as well. Why? Because, again, it's a prayer. It's, amongst other things, I would call it kind of a spiritual maintenance prayer, a prayer that helps us walk with God and helps us deal with the things we need to deal with on a daily basis. Now, by no means should it be the only prayer you pray, but it takes all of about 1 minute to pray the Lord's Prayer. But if Jesus taught his disciples to pray it, you and I are supposed to be disciples as well, so we're wise to pray it every single day. Well, I spoke a few moments ago about what we call our Kingdom Prayers prayer tool. As I mentioned, please email us to get it. It's a wonderful tool to help you to strengthen and empower your prayer life, and a great tool to help jumpstart your prayer life as well. And it contains a number of different prayers. The first prayer listed is a prayer for salvation. Now remember, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Remember this, the most important decision we make in life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. It's critical that we seek to come to be saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is just a critical step for all of us to make in order for us to both be saved and to be able to spend all eternity with our Heavenly Father. I would challenge and encourage you again to make it your goal to commit your heart and life to Christ today, because we all need to be saved. We desperately need to be saved. And the fact is, people are leaving this world in droves. People are dying at a crazy rate today. And when you die, the only thing that matters is, do you know Jesus Christ? Doesn't matter how much money you had in the bank, how much land you own, how big your family was, how influential or famous you were. The only thing that matters is, did you know Jesus Christ? Let's take a moment to pray this prayer. And if you're listening and you're not saved and you desire to be saved, I would encourage you to take a moment to pray this prayer with me, because you can give your heart and commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Would you pray it with me? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I have sinned and done wrong. I turn from and repent of all my sins. Lord, forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. I believed he died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later he rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the first time, please email us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. I'd like to send you the Kingdom Prayer Tool and some other material that will help you to begin to grow up in your faith. Because remember, the most important decision you can make is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Keep in mind the Bible, the wonderful Word of God. It's all one story. It's the story about the love of God, how he made us and how we sin, but how he made a way for us to be reconciled back to him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The book is about Jesus Christ and the salvation he's provided. So email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send the information to you. The Apostle Paul, right after he got saved in the book of Acts, chapter 9, he fell off the horse on his way to Damascus after he saw a great light. And the Lord Jesus spoke to him. And he said to him, "Who are you, Lord?" But his second question was also not only a question, but it was a prayer. And it's a good prayer for us all to pray every day. He said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And you know, that's what the Christian life is about. Listening to God, finding out what he wants you to do, and doing it. So praying and asking him every day, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And ask him to help you to do it every single day. That's a very wise prayer for us to pray. So that's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed, and you and I are wise to pray it every single day as well, and to seek to walk in obedience as God shows and directs us. Our time is just about gone, but we've been looking at the topic of the Bible, a book of prayer. And keep in mind, I referred to the prayer tool called Kingdom Prayers. Well, again, this is a prayer tool that you should email us to get, because it can jumpstart and empower your prayer life wonderfully. Before we end our time, I want to take a moment specifically to pray the Ten Commandments. It's, again, the Ten Commandments are found in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5 in their entirety. But it's wise for us to not only read them, but to pray them on a daily basis as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us this day to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now remember, praying the Ten Commandments, again, takes all of about, a minute and a half. But it's a wonderful tool that comes straight from the Word of God. It's praying the wisdom of God, the will of God. And you'd be wise to pray it for yourself. Pray it for your family. Pray it for your church. Pray it for the nation. God will help us to keep the wisdom of his word found in the Ten Commandments, because it'll bless all that you pray this prayer for. So once again, I want to challenge every single listener. If you haven't gotten the prayer tool, the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net, and get it. We'd be glad to send it to you. As we've looked today at the topic, the Bible, a book of prayer, remember the whole Bible is a book of prayer. It's a book that helps us to walk with God, commune with God, have conversations with God in prayer, to talk and listen to him. I hope that you'll make it your goal to start reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. It'll bless you. Parents, let's teach and train our children to read 3 chapters a day. That'll bless and encourage them as well. Have them read out loud to you. That'll help them greatly. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Once again, the email is jparker@afa.net if you'd like to get the prayer tools, or if you want to email us, and please let us know if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior today. We'd like to hear from you and get a chance to talk with you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.